Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Would you please join us in devotion?
Good evening, everyone. Well, again, we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained. We'll be starting off with song, then scripture, then prayer. Today's song is "To God Be the Glory." How can I say thanks for all the things that you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and never hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My text is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. And it reads like this. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Those two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I had before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives, this kind of fruit in our lives: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
Amen. Amen. Keep by your heads in prayer. Lord, we want to give you the glory tonight. And as we come before your throne, we are asking that your presence would be among us to lead, guide, and direct. But we declare that we have everything that we need for life and godliness, that each day, O God, that we would become transformed to be more and more like you, and that each day more and more of your kingdom would be released in the earth. Lord, thank you for the word that we're learning, that we can utilize this in our own areas of life to help kingdom building this. But we know that we have exceedingly great and precious promises in you, and we decree that they will be released in its proper season. We are trusting you. We believe that, Lord, all that we're taking in is not for naught, but that is to be used for your glory. And so, Lord, that power that is in work within us, as we learn and we hide that word in our hearts, we are declaring that we will do great exploits for you, O God, in the kingdom. We claim that we will be obedient to that which is touching our hearts to give service and to share your word with these, your people. Help us, Lord, to be transformed and to walk in that. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God is truly, 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 truly working. And we are so grateful and thankful, for we had an awesome last month. We dealt with the topic of wisdom. And this month, Dr. James Nooks is going to lead us in a study entitled, God Help Us to Use the Spiritual Gifts that We Have Been Given. And so I hope all of you tonight are excited about discussing about spiritual gifts, because we know that Dr. Nooks has a great a program lined up for us to learn. But to always be mindful that we are truly seeking God's face as we are stretched every time that we gather, because we have different ideas. So I'm asking that everybody on the line tonight would remember to keep their phones on mute unless they're talking, and to acknowledge who they are by saying, this is whomever speaking, and so that we can begin to recognize the voice with the person. And if you have any speakerphones or anything like that, if you hear in the studio a different, unique sound that's not clear, hang up and call back in so that we can get that line cleared out and it's not something that continues throughout the program. I'm so excited because we meet here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're just excited and ask that you continue to meet with us not only today but throughout the month as we're studying our spiritual gifts. Dr. Nooks, are you ready? Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. My sisters and brothers, we're so happy to have you on the line tonight. We're going to be talking about God Help Us Use the Spiritual Gifts that we've been given. This time of the year, we start thinking about voting and elections and things that are on the ballot. And one of the things that we can do to help our country is to exercise the right to vote. But if we don't exercise the right to vote, then whatever we get is what we get. But we have to participate. And I was struck by the fact that we have been given so much by God already. And many people complain about we don't have this thing. But I believe that, that God has given us a lot that we're not even taking advantage of. So it's just like not exercising our right to vote, and us not getting really what we would desire to have. There's a text in Matthew 25:14-30, and it's the text about the talents. And Jesus tells the parable of the person that was given 5 talents and another given 2 talents and another given 1 talent. And the person given 5 talents went and made 5 more talents, and the person given 2 talents went and made 2 more talents. So in other words, they used the talents that they had been given to produce more talents or more gifts. And the person who had 1 talent went and buried their talent. And when the king returned, he gave kudos to the people, the persons that had the 5 talents and the 2 talents, because they did something with their talent. But he was harsh on the person that had the 1 talent and buried it. A few years ago, when I was pastoring a church, many of my young people shared that they had spiritual gifts, so they not use their spiritual gifts in the church where I was pastoring, because some of the people were against them using their spiritual gifts. And they felt that some people in the church did not believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and that they would be criticized if they tried to use them. So I advised them that I wanted them to exercise their gifts, and the church needed their gifts. And I feel that they exercised some of their gifts, but I don't feel that they exercised all their gifts, because, again, they were, I think, put off by the fact that they felt people were against them in the church. And when I think about the day of Pentecost and Jesus' ascension, and he told the church that they would receive power as the Holy Ghost would come upon them, and that they would be able to go out and make disciples of all nations. And in John 14:9-13, Jesus tells the disciples that they would do even greater things than he did because he was going to the Father to help them. So we've been given all these gifts, and we've got Jesus and the Holy Ghost and God behind us, and yet it seems like we don't use the talents that we've been given. So I just have a question to open up with. Have we buried our spiritual gifts?
This is Eric Douglas. Can you repeat that? I kind of lost a little bit of that.
Have we buried our spiritual gifts?
Okay. This is Eric. Some have, some don't even know what they are. So I can't bury what I don't know what it is. So I think those of us who have been in the church for a while and have studied a while, yeah, we kind of have. But those who have not and have not really figured out what that is, I don't think they buried them. They just not have tapped into them yet, or don't realize that they exist and what they are.
Amen.
And this is Mark. I think those of us who don't have recognition of what those gifts are, we then, there's a group of us who just don't use them. We know that they're out there for us, but we just don't use them. It's potential gone unused.
And we know the old saying, this is there, we know the old saying for that, use it or lose it.
That's right.
Amen. And it seems to me that in many churches, like people just sit back, just like the young people in the church where I was pastoring, and they won't exercise their gifts. And they felt that people in the church would criticize them, and probably would have some of them. So I think about how Satan is busy keeping us from or deceiving us into not using that which God has given us. Just think how great it would be if people had a word of knowledge, or if they had the gift of wisdom, and they didn't share it, how much damage, or, you know, how much better the church could be if somebody would just share their gift of wisdom and knowledge or administration, the gift that God has given them.
You know, Dr. Noakes, you're absolutely right, and this is Eric again, and I recall when I really got involved in the church, everybody knows the story. I've been reading my Bible every day for years, but I ended up at a church in Jacksonville, Florida, after I moved there, and it's a small church, and, you know, really enjoyed the pastor and would go to Bible study, and it was old Deacon there, Deacon Cotton, and when I look back today, he was always talking to me. He was like, you may not know what your gift is, but God knows what it is, and you need to consult God because we need everybody in this church to do their piece. And he would say that during, he was the superintendent of Sunday school, and he'd say that at every prayer meeting, every Bible study. And, you know, one day it just pricked me. It was like, okay, what is it that, you know, I need to be doing? And so I got involved in teaching youth Sunday school. And sometimes it takes, you know, that wisdom of the older folks or younger folks or whoever that's involved in the church saying, you know, sending that call out and putting it out there, letting people know that we need everybody to work in this church. It is not the people you see in some folks. We need everybody. So if you've got something that you want to bring to the church, let's talk about that.
Amen. Amen. And there definitely needs to be a spirit of acceptance of people with different gifts in the church. I think sometimes we get so closed-minded with God in a box, we can't see that people could have gifts that maybe don't look the way we think they should look. Maybe they're younger than we think they ought to be. Maybe they don't dress the way we think they ought to dress. But yet they have been gifted by God. And all that gift and talent, it just comes in and walks right back out the door. And then we sit up and we wonder why our churches aren't as they should be. I want us to look at Galatians 5, and I read that text, but I want us to just look at verses 19 through 24. Somebody want to read that again for us? Galatians
5. Yeah, this is Eric. This is Eric. I'd love to read that because I read that one every day, and I got a slightly different New Living Translation.
Okay.
And you'll hear it when it gets to the point that I really enjoy. But so 19 through 20, which one through 24?
Yes.
So when you follow the desires of your lust of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for demonic activity, I'm sorry, eagerness for lust, pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostilities, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, the feeling that everyone is wrong except for those in your own little group. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there.
Amen. Amen. Brother Eric, since you've read that so often, what does that text mean to you?
Well, it absolutely means to me that if I am seeking God and in a relationship with God and trying to do God's will and asking God to control my life, that stuff that I normally think of and do as a part of my sinful nature doesn't say that it doesn't go away, but it says that it's replaced by all those things of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what I surmise to people is that those gifts of the Spirit makes it easier to deal with people.
Amen.
Not your relationship with God, but to deal with people.
Amen.
Because if you don't carry some patience, some kindness, some goodness, some self-control, some gentleness, and some love, you're going to have a hard time dealing with people. And for me, that's what that says. And so I can get past all that other stuff that I used to doing and did do and still able to do and still think about doing. But if I'm in a relationship with God, all that stuff is going to start to be less and less and less. I liken it as the old man being put to death and the new man growing stronger and stronger. What's that saying, Dr. Susie? If you got two dogs, the one you feed the most is the one that's going to get the biggest.
Yeah.
The one that's going to grow. Amen.
You know, and so that's what it says to me, Dr. Nook. And you know, I ask the Lord every day to make that so, to make that true. And I think you have to be intentional about that.
Mm-hmm. You know, what strikes me is that we've been given these fruits or gifts from God, you know, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives them to us. And do we claim or embrace that which has already been given to us? You know, that's, and I know that we have a lot of troubles in our lives, you know, a lot of things happen. But in the midst of all that, you can still have joy, even in the midst of all kind of problems. And you can still have peace and patience and kindness. And these kind of things, they're not something that is foreign to us, or they shouldn't be. As believers, they've already been given. So what is it that causes us not to embrace that which God has already given to us?
Let me say this, that I have a suspicion that we don't believe that those fruits of the Spirit apply to us and that they're there for us. I think too many times we think that in serving God, it is some hard task that needs to be done, when in fact, if you take God at his word and accept God at his word, it's pretty easy. And the two of those fruits of those gifts that I really would, well, three I would really draw people's attention to is that the love to be able to even care about those who are cruel to you and mistreat you and to be as Christ was, to love people to that extent. The other two are very important to me is joy, which joy comes from the inside, which means you got to get that down, and the only way you get that is in relationship with God. That's my feeling. And the other one is the peace. The scripture says the peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, if you can get to that point, the rest of it will come. Because I'm a living witness that if you can get to that point, the rest of it will come. The self-control to not do the things you used to do, the faithfulness to have a relationship with God and practice and be steadfast in that relationship, the goodness that you can show to others, even in the midst of them mistreating you. Doesn't mean it doesn't feel good to you, but you can still look past it. And the gentleness that you cannot have a crossword just because somebody is having one with you, Because most of the time when somebody has a cross word, we go back up to that. Now, let me, you know how we used to say, let me lay down my religion for a little bit. Let me get you told and then pick that back up. And when I was a young kid and I'd hear grown folks say that, I'm like, wait a minute, how you do that? How you lay your religion down and cuss somebody out and then and talk about picking it back up? Okay, now I'm back in Christ. I'm like, yeah, wait a minute.
Amen. Yep. We jump back up there to hostility and quarreling and jealousy and outbursts of anger. Ambition, dissension, division.
And when we look at our world today, this is Eric again. You know, version of the New Living Translation said, you know, division. And then it went on to say the feeling that everyone is wrong except for those in your own little group.
My Lord.
How many of us know groups like that or have been a part of those groups or may still be there?
And that's not in the world either. That's also in the church.
Right. Absolutely.
Amen.
Speaking of the church. You know, that's how you get those factions in the church. And I will say this, and I'll be quiet. I'll say this other part of that is that we as church members, if we really were students, we would realize that Christ came to change the church that he was a part of. Didn't he break the mold of everything that they had been doing in the temple? And you know what? And everybody was frantic and scared because of change. And wasn't it? Everybody's stripping
them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They killed him. They killed him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
just wanted you to know, Dr. Ness, I didn't think that was a good thing to say right now.
It's the truth, though. It's the word. It's the truth.
I just wanted you to know.
Yeah, I understand. But that's the way people feel. I mean, if you upset their way of life, and their way of life is not necessarily God's way of life, then they want to get you out of their life by whatever means necessary, as Malcolm X said. And that means whatever it is to get you out, that's what they'll do. Their way of worshiping, their way of conducting business, it's silly things. That don't mean anything. But yet, to them, that's everything. And they miss this whole thing about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Lord have mercy, kindness. My goodness, kindness. Gentleness, self-control. These are what the Spirit gives us. This is what we're supposed to be acting like. And God has given us that.
Brother Eric. Brother, I think you just need to send me a copy of that Bible just like that. That was a good one. So I'm looking for my copy in the mail.
Yeah. But it is. And the other part of that I would tell the listeners that are listening out there who may want to get involved and who may realize what their gifts are and being in the church is that they still may face that stuff because they said, Jesus, well, how does he understand that? He's too young for that. He's not even 30. And don't we know his sister and his mom? And he's just a carpenter's son. And he's not learned. He's not this. He's not that. But yet he was all of that and then some. And for those listening, you may be as well. And it may be that, you know, you need to find that one person in church you can talk to and say, you know, how do I get my gifts and what I'm good at and what I see and start having those conversations. Sometimes you got to approach them because they may not realize that you have those gifts within you. But you can see stuff going on in the church congregation and say, you know, I can offer something there.
Amen. Amen. And we need those gifts.
We absolutely do. I mean, the church needs any and everybody's gifts who's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Dr. Susie. I just wanted to remind everybody we've got quite a few people on the phone tonight. So, Dr. Okay.
Okay.
Well, tell them take off mute and start speaking up.
Does anyone else have any other comments on the fruits of the Spirit and the fact that we need to use that with them so that we can be better people and better servants of God? And we can look more like God. Who do we have on the line? Because we're going to go to the next text if we don't have any more comments on Galatians. Because I'm going to get into the gift.
Dr. Nuss, this is Eric. I just want to ask one question because you just posed that. But do we really want to look like God?
My Lord.
Anybody out there want to touch that one? I mean, do we really want to look like God? I mean, we're supposed to be made in God's image.
You're meddling enough, Eric, so I'm going to go on and get out there. You know, you've been meddling this all night. I just want you to know. So
I'm just getting up for real.
Well, my answer is this. I know that where I've been able to serve in different capacities, and I don't call any names, but the reality is when you bring the word and a group of people have not been actively studying the word, and that becomes a challenge because you are challenging them to be, to walk like, look like, talk like the Lord. And that takes work, and many of us don't want to do any work. We don't want to study to show ourselves approved. We don't want to hold our tongue and not lay down our religion. We want to get it out. We want to act in that old nature because that's the nature that's easier. And it's you know, more pleasurable because that's what we're used to for one reason. But, you know, and the desire, it's just like a friend was sharing with me, it's like exercising. When we do the routine more and more, it gets easier. If we would get in the Word and we would do it daily and we do it more and more, it would become easier. And I think it would become a place that we would enjoy that would sharpen our gifts and empower us to be able to desire to lead and to use what we have for the kingdom.
Amen, Dr. Susan.
Amen. Amen.
We got Eric on the phone. We got brother in the. We got Brent on the phone. We've got Sean on the phone. We've got Louisville on the phone. We've got Marcus on the phone. So you can start calling folk out.
And look at some of these gifts of the Spirit. Somebody get that for us. 1 Corinthians 12. 1-31, and again, we're talking about using that which we've been given, and in order to use that which we've been given, we need to understand what it is. I think Brother Eric had said that sometimes people don't even know what it is, what spiritual gifts are, and I think Mark made a similar comment, and if we don't know what they are, then maybe we don't can't use them. But spiritual gifts are gifts that comes from the word charismata, from charismatai. It has to do with favor and has to do with grace. It doesn't cost us anything. God gives it. He's given it to the church, and he's given us all kinds of gifts. And we're just going to talk about some from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's verses 1-31, but I want to just start and do verse 4-7 right now. Somebody have that? 1 Corinthians 12.
Yeah, this is Eric. I've got it.
Okay.
4-7. Now, there are different types of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. The spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church.
Amen.
So
We all have a gift that's been given
Amen.
Us to help the entire church. That's what I get from that. We all, doesn't say some, doesn't say those that have been there for 10 years, doesn't say those that are preaching, doesn't say those that are teachers, doesn't say those in the choir. It says we all. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church.
Amen.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to elaborate a little bit. I was looking at Eric Stoffed in verse 4. I know you asked him to, but verse 6 says, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work. That's the key in all of us. The same
Amen.
God who does the work. And I think that's what we forget. It's not we who are doing the work, but it's God who's doing the work in and through us. And so we
Amen.
Don't have to be so intimidated and afraid to walk out in faith on what God has gifted us to do and the gift that we become or be. So, you know, I think it's about faith again. It's about believing and having trust in God and understanding this really not an option. Because it wasn't given to you to be an option. It was given to you to use. And it's like if you are the nose, then I need to breathe, and I can't breathe out of my ear, you know, because you're there for the purpose of helping me breathe. So you need to open your nose and help me get some, you know, oxygen through there. And the whole body becomes dysfunctional if you don't choose to let the Spirit work through you.
And that's why, this is Eric, and that's why we got some dysfunctional churches.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
We've not accepted the spiritual gifts that God has put within us because we're too busy trying to do somebody else's spiritual gift that we're not qualified for.
But, you know, I don't even think it's just that, Eric. I think we're just too daggum lazy and don't want to do anything.
Well,
I mean, I think
is
that
a
yeah,
part of
yeah.
what, who we are. Yeah. But I mean, it's amazing to me that you know you can see people in a church congregation. This is Eric again. You can see people in a church congregation, and they're doing a job, and just because they've done it for a long, long time, because somebody put them there, although they really may not be the best for it. I can't say that they can't do it, but they're not the best for it. And yet you can't get them to step away from there because that's my job. Well, you know, let me assist you. Let me assist you. Let me help you. Let us find a better way. Like, well, and I hate this phrase. Well, we've always done it that way. And every time I hear that phrase where I am, I'm like, and that don't make it right either. Because you've done it that way. You could have been doing it wrong all along.
Amen. Amen. I'm curious, people that are on the line, Brett, Mark, Sean, in your churches, did they stress spiritual gifts? Anybody on the line, does any of your churches stress that people ought to have spiritual gifts and try to encourage you in developing your spiritual gift?
This is Mark. I think that has to be a uniqueness in a lot of our churches because they don't teach about spiritual gifts. They don't teach them how to enact or how to recognize your spiritual gift. Or how to enact that spiritual gift. So the answer to that is in no, in many cases, and therefore the body of church is not enlarged. I was thinking when this first topic came up, how Dr. Susie preached on Sunday about the DNA of God, recognizing that God's DNA has been placed in us after we receive his salvation. Well, you know, if we have not been exposed to what that means or how to enact our special gift by the use of our faith, then it goes dormant. It's almost as we did not have it at all. And it's just unfortunate that we just don't use it, because those are tools for us, for not only for the edification of the body, but also for ourselves when we have those difficult situations, or we want to, you know, do things to broaden things in our lives. He's given us specific gifts to do that, to bless us, to bless others, to bless the body of Christ. And so it's truly important that we recognize that we want to have them, to what they are, and three, to enact that gift.
Amen.
This is Dr. Studing. This is Dr. Studing, and one of the things I feel, at least in the churches that I've participated in, as well as the ones that I've given leadership to, we do talk about all of the spiritual gifts, but people have a tendency to be afraid of some of the gifts and not to want to talk about, specifically depending on the cultural group, gifts of the tongue there's certain ones that you know, prophecy, they don't really want to talk about that, because they struggle with, number one, what it means, and believe in it, because it's not something that is routine, and so they're afraid of it, and as a result, don't spend much time with it.
Amen. And you're right about that. The doctrine of many churches and the theology that they have, some of them don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit are even active. And then some of them feel like once Christ came and the church is established, the gifts were no longer needed. Once Christ died, speaking tongues. So, I mean, you have differences of opinion here, differences in theology and doctrine. And yet we read these, but I think oftentimes we don't really embrace them and say that these are real. I mean, these are real things that God has given us. So I just wanted to start talking about some. Go ahead.
No, I was just, I'll wait. You're probably getting ready to do the talk about what the gifts are.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to go through and talk about some of the gifts here listed.
Okay.
And as we go to those gifts, I want David on the line to think, do I have this gift? You know, is this something that's in me that perhaps I should be sharing with other people? Let's read. There's a sound in the line on the line. Maybe somebody needs to go on mute. Could somebody read verse 8 and 1 Corinthians 12? Did you put your phones on mute? There, thank you. Verse 8.
This is verse. Eric. I've got it. To one,
okay.
Just 8 through 12 or 8 through 11.
Read verse 8 through 11.
To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, He gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another, and to someone else, He gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and to another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have.
Amen.
This is Brian. This is Brian. I have a question. How does one know that you have a spiritual gift or gifts?
This is Dr. Susie. And if I might be able to talk, I think that one of the things I heard someone say in the beginning is that when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, then the Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts. It's then up to us to discern what they are. And there are different things that you can do to examine. I mean, and one of the things is, first of all, to know what the gifts are and to take the next step, I think, of ascertaining who has them. And that's what we're going to talk about this month is, next week we focus on what are some spiritual gifts and then who has spiritual gifts and why do we have spiritual gifts and what prevents us from using them. So I think those are excellent questions. And if you don't have an answer today, just, you know, continue to work with us through the month because we're going to talk about how we get all those and who has them and all those questions. So those are excellent questions. And Dr. Nuss, if you want to answer them today, if you got some answers you want to go directly to, you know.
This is Brian again. And I know, Dr. Susie, you said we were going to be talking about that in either next week or the upcoming weeks, but I'd like to know, what parts of the Bible can I read for myself to find that information? So when we meet up again next week and you guys start talking, I'll already have an idea and a better understanding of what those gifts are.
Amen.
We've given some background scriptures, and we read Galatians 13-26, and we're reading 1 Corinthians 12:1-31, and we also have Romans 12:1-16, and Ephesians 1-6.
So can we talk about some of those spiritual gifts? At least even if we can't go through all of them, can I hit some of them?
Yes. The first one in verse 8 is gift of wise advice.
And you're talking about 1 Corinthians 12:8?
Verse 8, yes.
Okay.
So these
you want me to read that passage?
Yeah, Eric just read it. He read 8 through 11.
Can I read it again?
Absolutely, yes.
I'm going to start in the fourth verse. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other, so there's a purpose. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, as Pastor Nick said. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, which is another gift. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives a gift of healing, which is another gift. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another gift, and another the ability to prophesy. There we go. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, so that's a gift of discernment. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown tongues, so that's the gift of tongues.
while another is given the ability to interpret what is said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. So who gives them out as far as the Trinity? The Holy Spirit gives out the gifts. The Holy Spirit alone decides which gifts each person should have.
And the gifts are not of you. They're of God. And the spiritual gifts, if you don't know what yours is, that's something that you need to be in prayer about and ask God to understand and reveal to you what gifts you have. And we're not limited to just one gift also. People can have different gifts. And gift of wisdom is to be able to have insight and the ability to apply God's unchanging truth to changing situations. So there are people in the church that are wise. They've been given a gift from God of wisdom. And those on the line, share if you've experienced that. People can have wisdom, and it doesn't matter, you know, that you don't have degrees. It is something special that comes from God that people have special insight, and they can see things and understand things and be able to bring clarity to situations. That's a special gift from the Holy Spirit.
This is Eric, and Dr. Nooks, I think a part of his question was, you know, how do you know? And that comes from being in relationship and studying with the Lord and asking that be revealed to you. And once it is revealed to you, walking in that area of operation and owning it and accepting it, putting it into practice. Because if that gift is given to you, I can't tell you that, you know, everybody's not going to think that's your gift. But when you know it is, and God has revealed to you through the Holy Spirit providing it on you, you need to own it and you need to walk in it. And every time you get a chance to exercise it, you need to do that. Because the only way that you're going to make that gift better and even more special is using it. Because if we don't use it, we lose it. If we don't use the gifts that we are given, we lose them. And they do the church no good. They do not do the body of Christ any good.
And this is Dr. Susie. You know, we just read 1 Corinthians 12:1-31, which is one of Dr. Nook's passages, and it asks the question in verses 29, do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown tongues? Do we all have the ability to interpret? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gift. So it sounds like to me, if we desire a gift, if we ask for a gift, then God will give us that gift. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. So, and I love what Eric was saying about this is where we can't be lazy. You know, we have to study. The whole point, study to show yourself approved. As we are in relationship with God and walk in that daily path and we desire a gift, then God is just to give us a gift. And Paul said that, you know, this is exactly what we should do. We should seek gifts. And I think it's through the relationship that God reveals the type of, you know, you can watch and learn, I guess, as the two dogs that Eric was talking about begin to get fed. So whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to grow the most, your nature, your human nature, or your spiritual nature. And as you are feeding your spiritual nature, it matures. And with that maturity, you notice things that you have an affinity for. I would think you would then begin to know, wow, I'm very exhortful. I'm always encouraging people. I'm always trying to help people. I want to pray for some folks, and I noticed the moment I started praying, my prayers start coming true. You know, so the ability to pray and heal and those things are real. And I don't think that, I don't know about you all, but I'm living in a world that I know that I've been in Africa, different places, where there were no doctors available for people to go to because they didn't have the money. And they had to rely on the power of prayer and of God to do the healing for them. And I'm telling you, when the people exercise their spiritual muscles, God moves. And we have to understand, just because we're over here in the United States and we don't see some of the manifestation of these gifts doesn't mean that they don't exist anymore. It could be because our muscles are so weak. It's like a person that you know, you get 95 years old and your muscles are all gotten flabby now because you haven't used them. And so you can't lift a 50-pound, you know, thing with your weight with your arm. It's because we haven't used it. And so sometimes if we're not exercising our spiritual gifts, they become weak and not as strong. So it's in the exercising of our gifts. It's also in the use of the word and putting and planting that in our hearts, that we get the abilities and the strength to walk into the maturity of our gifts. My perspective.
Amen. The next item is the gift of knowledge, special knowledge. And some people have a particular gift for appreciating truths other Christians may easily miss, and they're unable to and they're able to instruct people in understanding and sharing in those areas. So people can have a special gift of knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge kind of go together, and you know, wisdom being able to apply the knowledge. But then we have questions that sometimes we cannot answer. You know, God has given us understanding that normal people don't have. And it's a spiritual gift, a spiritual understanding, and also spiritual wisdom that is there to help the church. If we would realize we have it, or we would ask people for help in exercising their gifts, it would make the church stronger.
But, Dr. Nix, I got a question. Do we even desire the gifts? I mean, do we? Because I think we're scared if we got them, we have to use them. God would expect us to use them. Do we desire the gifts? Come on, Eric. Did you always desire gifts? Anybody else, Mark? Did you desire gifts?
I didn't.
Brother
Brian,
did you desire gifts?
This is Eric. No, I didn't always desire the gifts, but once the relationship started and I was sincere about the relationship, they came. And then it was a matter of, okay, then how do I use them? And mm-hmm. That's not going to happen until you are sincere about the relationship.
Right. So what about you, Britt? How did it work with you? Britt's off the phone now. Is anybody else on there? Sean? Brother Brian, did you seek a gift? Did you want a gift?
This is Mark. I don't know if I sought a gift. I think... I recognized things that would happen in my life, and through my faith, I was able to not only to receive those, but kind of act on those gifts. So it wasn't as if I actually even sought after. It was just recognized, and it was almost like I needed something. That was beyond me. I had to use the power that he'd given me that was beyond myself, because I couldn't change the situation. I couldn't work beyond the situation. I wasn't smart enough to work through the situation. So God gave me a gift to be able to go over the situation.
Okay.
Well, it's almost 8 o'clock, but I didn't really believe or understand how powerful the gifts were, and really understand that God was in these gifts, and I think as I was growing up, it seemed like a concept to me and not reality, and I think that's the deception that Satan has placed in our minds, and making us believe that that this isn't real. That we can't really do this. If we don't really have these gifts, and God, it's not possible for us to do these things. To have special faith, to have special healing, to be able to do miracles. And Jesus said we would do miracles. So, and then we sit up and try to convince people that they can't do them, even though Jesus said we could.
So I'm just curious, how many people believe in the gifts? No, I mean, I'm supporting what you said. I just wonder how many people believe that in all these gifts? How many people believe that we can actually have a gift of healing now and people speak in tongues in other languages? Who believes that?
This is Eric. I know it to be true.
All of them? I believe it.
How about you, Mark?
Yes.
You believe in healing?
Oh, absolutely. Not only do I believe in healing, you know, I've seen it happen. You know, and you know, with myself, you know, whether it be you know, through in blessing others, or whether it be a sense of discernment, it becomes very natural. I think, like anything else, once you have a gift and you use that gift, you are able to fine tune that gift. And that's another thing I think people don't recognize. Go ahead.
So, but is it possible to have a gift and only use it and have it expressed for that one time that's needed? Because I know people who were missionaries that would share the story that they didn't have an understanding of a language, and God had them talking, and they actually spoke in the language of the people that they were ministering to, and they understood them. But they never had that ability again. But for that season, they were able to do what was necessary.
I would go far to say that they didn't. God gave them that gift or use of that gift in that season. But I would even go further to say that if God gives you a gift, He doesn't take it away from you. You know, God, you have to use that gift. I just think when you become aware of your gift, you have to use that gift. Now it might have been the case where, you know, they recognize I got a gift. This situation happened, but what do I do to use this gift again? And sometimes that happens. Some people, you know, something happens where they use that gift, but they don't seek to use it again.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's after 8 o'clock. So let me ask the question. You know, Dr. Mixer, let's if you would sum up just what we've learned tonight, and then I'll go into the praise reports and prayer requests.
Well, we looked at some of the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, and we've asked the question, you know, what are we doing to use those gifts, or are we using them? Are we using what God has given us to help the church, to help other people? And that's why we've been given these gifts. And I think to raise the question, you know, do I have some of these gifts? Is there something that I should be doing that perhaps I'm not doing? And there's a lot of questions around, are the gifts real? Do we believe in them? What's our tradition? How have we been taught? So we're still continuing to study this, and we're going to look more at, you know, who had gifts of the Spirit. Next step.
Amen. Amen. Well, are there any praise reports or prayer requests for tonight? I do want to lift up the sickle cell community. We gathered as a group of chaplains and pastors and to pray and counselors for the sickle cell group. There have been many, many, many deaths of young people in the ages in the early 20s that have recently died. We have 4 die in the last week. That's a lot of people that folks knew, and it was overwhelming and is overwhelming as these young people are trying to fight that battle every day. So I'd ask you to keep them in prayer. I ask you also to lift up our president and our country as we're struggling and getting ready to go into an election period, and my health and that of my son and my family. Is there anyone else in the church I serve? Anybody else?
This is Mark. I have to go next week into my last set of testing in regard to the issues with my pancreas. And I believe in the God who is giving me healing already, but, you know, I always believe in prayer.
Amen.
So, yeah. Well, I could always
anybody
be
else?
Pray for me.
Amen. Amen. Is there anyone who would like to close us out in prayer tonight? All righty then. Brother Eric? Get off mute.
Let us pray. No, let us pray. Gracious Father, we, thy humble servants, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time we've been able to spend together to study the gifts that the Holy Spirit indwells upon us. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the patience, the love, the joy. Instill that in us, Father. We are your children. For we truly can't reflect you if we don't have those fruits, Father. So may your hand be upon us as we go into the rest of this evening and the week to come until we meet again. May you provide the answers to those folks who are seeking how to serve you and how to utilize those gifts that the Holy Spirit has made abundant to us. May you bless Mark and his testing that he's going to go through, that all may be well, that your Spirit will wrap itself around him and comfort him, and that you would heal his body so that all may be well. May you bless Dr. Susie and the work that she does and the community that she's in, and may you bless her family, particularly James and his health. May you bless Dr. Nooks and the work that he does and strengthen him, undergird him so that he may continue to do that work in your name. May you bless those who didn't even lift up the request, but you know what they are, for you know all of us and you know all of our situations. May you continue to look upon us as lovingly as you have when you created your Son, Jesus Christ, and accepted his sacrifice for the only begotten Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, who gave his life that we may not be separated from you. And though we are filthy rags, Father, and though we have fallen short on all occasions, you still love us. You still give us the opportunity. You're a God of many chances. And so may we continue to study your word. May we continue to build community. May we continue to take what we learn and the conversations that we have to our communities, to our homes, to our jobs, and to our places of worship, that we truly may be a light and a reflection of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his love. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.